If you have your Bible this morning, I get very busy and I depend heavily upon the Holy Spirit to lead us when we come together like this. I depend on Him. I lean on Him. I look to Him. I ask God to let me speak as an oracle of God, to speak in His behalf, to speak His word clearly and plainly. I ask Jesus to help me to magnify Him, for we're doing all of this in His name, that we might exalt Him as the Father has exalted Him. I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me, that He might speak through me. He's the Spirit of truth, come to guide us into all truth and to point us to Him who is the truth. The Bible said when He comes, He will not speak of Himself, but He will testify of Jesus. And I always tell the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what I've come to do, to not speak of myself, but to testify of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I ask Him that we may work together, especially when we make our broadcast that goes up on the internet, because I know there will be, I don't always know there will be lost people in this audience, but I know there will be lost people in that audience. So I report for duty to the Lord of the harvest. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the field, because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. When Jesus spoke that, He stood on a hill overlooking a city, and He saw people going about their daily affairs, but He saw them differently than anyone else would see them. He saw them headed for eternity, every last one of them headed for eternity, and there's only two places to spend it, in heaven or in hell. And He saw them in danger. He saw them in imminent danger, because God knows better than any of us that the heart can stop at any moment. An aneurysm can, I don't want to scare you, I just want you to have such assurance that you're not afraid. Amen. You could have an aneurysm. It's done. It's over. And it could happen just out of nowhere. There could be all kinds of things within us that's about to blow. Like my tires when I first got married. What kind of, yeah, exactly right. What kind of tires did you have? Were they Firestone? Were they, you know, one of the other U.S. Royal, whatever the brands were? I said, they're Mapops. All the tread was gone. We tried to avoid sand spurs. They were Mapops. It didn't take much, you know, for that to go down. We're in the last day, and I believe the devil has pulled out all of the stops. There's a scripture in the Old Covenant that said, if you've run with the footmen, and they have tired you, how will you contend with horses? If Jordan is smooth and there's no flood and everything's just running normal and good and you having problems, what are you going to do when Jordan comes over its banks? The force of a flood is a terrible force. It will move giant trees that have stood for hundreds of years. It will uproot them and carry them away. It will take away the foundations of mighty homes and see them crumble to the ground. That's why we need this victory that only comes from God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The message today is about so many of us getting tired, weary, and worn thin in what right now we think is such a bad time here in America. We've got it better in America than most of the nations of the world. And I really believe, and hear me clearly, I want to speak this in love, but I want us to get out of this rut and get out of this valley and get out of this stinking thinking that we've got something always to complain to God about. The complaint department in heaven is closed. You know why it's closed? Because it was never opened. There is no complaint department. What happened when they complained in the wilderness? What happened? Snakes couldn't touch them. Nothing could touch them. God was with them. He brought them out to bring them in until they complained. When they complained, they all got bit. All of that hedge came down when they complained. I have a tendency in my flesh to complain to God about circumstances. Don't look at me like I'm some kind of, that I need more victory. You need to recognize the weaknesses of your flesh. We all have a tendency to complain. We may not do it publicly. We may just do it in our heart. Others may vocalize that complaint. David complained. How long, O Lord, will you let my enemies do this and that? How long? How long do I have to wait for victory? He was just voicing and venting to God. But he didn't keep it up. Then he would catch himself and talk to himself. So, why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in the Lord, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Can you say amen? And he would always come back. And that's the key to victory to me. It's not never getting down in that place and getting in the doldrums. It's always standing back up and giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory. But let me tell you this today. If you run with the footman, and they have tired you, if you're getting weary here, and these good circumstances, I know it's awful out there. I know it looks like the devil is winning. I know the woke crowd is pushing their agenda like they've never pushed the agenda. And Jesus knew these days were coming. He told us they were coming. In the last days, perilous times will come. He told us to put on God's armor. Scripture tells us to put on the armor of God, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That doesn't mean you don't go to work, take care of your family, fulfill your responsibilities, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and God what is God's. It does mean not to get involved in stuff you don't have to be involved in that takes you away from serving God and getting in the presence of God and assembling together and hearing holy instructions from the Word of God. I desperately want to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, not just what the preacher has pre-planned and made an outline for. I have an outline here. So I pre-planned, I make outlines, but when I get here, I'm wide open to the Holy Spirit. Because I want to hear what he's saying distinctly, directly to the people gathered here and to the people, if it's good enough to put up online, the people that he knows he's going to send it to. One thing is for sure, murmuring and complaining opens the door for the enemy, and we're told to don't give any place to him. Keeping consistent praise to God is vitally important to our victory. Praise him when you feel like complaining to him. Thank him. Show gratitude for what he has done, even while you're waiting for something you're praying for him to do. Amen. I will bless the Lord. The psalmist said at all times, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. Awake, harp. Awake, psaltery. He wants all the musicians to join him. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Something in that. There's something about that. If you're fainting in the day of adversity, the old covenant says, if you faint in the day of adversity, that's showing you where you really are in your faith and in your spiritual fortitude, not your emotional man, but in the spiritual man. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. God wants to address that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. the reason so many Christians get faint-hearted, get discouraged, get defrauded of that God wants to give them, and get defeated, is because we don't draw from that God has provided for us. Though the outward man perish, something is supposed to be occurring in our spirit man every single day. We don't wait for some appointed revival that's coming. This has to take place daily in our life, because we fight these battles on a daily, consistent basis. One thing about the devil, he's consistent. He never lets up. He never takes a vacation. He never says, you know, I've been really hard on those Christians. I'm going to lay back a little bit. I feel so sorry for them. No, he's set for our destruction. He goes about as a roaring lion, a hungry, ravenous beast, driven by hunger to kill and destroy. The thief cometh but to steal. But he can't kill or destroy until that first thing. He's a thief. He comes to steal first. And then he can kill. And then he can destroy. But he can't do it unless he takes something that belongs to us from us. That's why the Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Therefore, my beloved, this is a God-given victory. God-granted victory. Hallelujah. So he says, thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. Out in the Christian music world, which is a lot of the Christian singers today, you hate to find out. I'm not just disappointed. I'm disillusioned. I expect better from someone singing the songs of Zion. I expect better people singing those songs in a choir at church that go out into the work-a-day world and don't live anything that resembles the faith in order to not be persecuted or ostracized. So it's no marvel to me that there are Christian singers that sing as if they know the Lord and sing the right words, but then do not follow the Lord in their personal life and their personal testimony. I'm disillusioned by Christian leaders who read from the scriptures, who go for years living a lie without it becoming evident. One thing about God, he doesn't cover up for that kind of thing. Even at the expense of the hurt of the gospel itself, he will not cover it up. Be sure. Be sure. There's no doubt about it. No if, and, but, or maybe. Our sins, unconfessed, our sins will find us out. I read the true story back in the... How many of you watched A Little House on the Prairie during that era? A little girl was from a poor family, and there was a family that was doing better, and the little girl in the family doing better down the road had a doll that had been sewn in the shape of a doll. The grandmother had made it for her granddaughter and filled it with oats in order to give it body. So it was a rag doll, if you might. But it was very primitive, but when you don't have anything, that doll looked real good to this other little girl. And one day she snuck in and stole that doll. Got afraid that she would be found out, and she buried it in the backyard. There was suspicion that she might have taken it because she had always envied it, and the mother of the other little girl that had it told her mother, do you think your daughter might have took that home by mistake, or do you think you didn't want to be accusative? And everything was fine until the spring rains came. And oats came up in the form of a doll. Be sure, your sin will find you out. the Bible said, and we shouldn't be intimidated by this, there's nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. Nothing. That's why we should always be transparent, like David. Search me. You know me already, but I just want to go on record. I want you to show me if there's something that's going to trip me up. I want you to show me if there's something that's going to cause me to stumble. If there's any unclean way in me, I want you to bring it to the surface. I want to get it dealt with. I have been deceived. I have almost been destroyed by sin. I want you to help me in this area of my life. What would happen in the Christian community if real, true blue Christians would be transparent with God? And God will show you. There are people that won't come here because God will show them. The anointing gets flowing. Conviction's not comfortable. It'll make you squirm. It'll make you feel uncomfortable. It's God loving you enough to not let you alone. For there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of what leads to destruction. So God in His great love sends the Holy Spirit. When He's come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He starts with convicting. I know it says He will convince, but the actual Greek is convict. Holy Spirit conviction is real. I've had people tell me when we were in the Holy Church of God on Sitka Street, there was a man sat on the back row and his friend told me this. They would come to church maybe once every 2 or 3 months and he would be moved on by the Spirit of God because God was manifesting His Spirit. And if you're not right with God and you're in a service where the Holy Spirit is convicting in that area, then you're going to be very uncomfortable. And he was uncomfortable and he wouldn't come back for a while. Every time he came back, he got under conviction because God loved him, wanted to save him, seal him, keep him safe from the wrath to come. Remember when they had these raft races? You build your own makeshift raft on the Hillsborough River down in Sulphur Springs. Well, he got him a makeshift raft. And the Sunday before whenever that was, the Sunday before that happened, his friend told me later, because I heard that someone had drowned in the Hillsborough River. And it was that man that sat there, that God, who sees the end from the beginning, who knows the future, was calling him so he could keep him. Has God ever convicted you? Have you ever felt that call? It's not a comfortable feeling, but it's God saying, I love you. I want to keep you from the harm that the enemy wants to do to you. And so his friend came to me. He said, Pastor Venable, he said, you remember the man that sat with me in the back? He said, the Sunday before he drowned, he told me as we left the church, because as we gave the invitation and the altar call, he told him, he said, I had to hold on to the pew. I had to literally hold on to keep from going forward. When he considered the cost of getting forgiveness would be he'd have to give up some sin. And I call them our pet sins. It's the one that we don't take serious. We enjoy it so much. Among my in-laws, my son's side of the family, Alan, his in-laws, there's a man that was arrested for doing drugs. And I worked with his son when I was bivocational. He was arrested for doing drugs. And you know what he told the Plant City Police? When they arrested him for buying drugs, he said, well, I'm getting older. I'm getting sicker. He had a lot of physical issues. He was only in his early 50s. He said, before I was too old to enjoy it, I wanted to get high one more time. See, that's what took Jesus back. what was astonished him. What would a man give if he understands eternity and spending it somewhere forever? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What's worth it? Alcohol? For years it was alcohol in my son's life. It's one of those drugs that we don't put in the category of as an opiate. We don't put it in that category as prescription drugs that has hooked so many people, or all the other drugs. The spirit of addiction is real. And there's more to it than the chemicals in the alcohol. There's more to it than the chemicals that's in the drug behind it. There is a spiritual force behind it. And that's why we need to explain when it talks about Babylon, when it says neither repented her of her sorceries. And I see the occult. And in a sense, the spirit of the occult is there. But it's the word pharmakos. There are good drugs out there. There are things that help people. And I believe every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. I give God the glory for the medical knowledge. My wife had a blockage. If they didn't go in there and fit, now God could have worked a miracle, but she just got real short of breath. And we were visiting brother and sister Cristello's mother as she was passing away in Tampa General, and my wife was coming up the ramp. I went on up, and then she came after me, and she had to stop. She couldn't come any further. He had to go help her the rest of the way. So she went in for a checkup. They sent her for one of the, where they, check everything inside. They found out three veins were almost closed off. That means she could have had a major heart attack event at any time. And they sent her straight from an outpatient test to Tampa General on a weekend, and 2 days later they open her up and they take three blades from her leg, and they open you up, crack your rib cage, and go in there and do that delicate thing with the heart. We prayed together, and when the doctor called me, the surgeon, after it was over, he was giddy. He was just giddy, Brother Taylor. I don't know any other. It was like Christmas morning. It's like he'd got a present. Because he said, I want to tell you. He said, listen, your wife's heart is strong. And we didn't have to give her all the blood that we normally do during surgery. It went so smooth, he said. He said everything went, and the time we allotted, they believed, and it can run over that time, but said it was way shorter. Everything went smooth, that everything went perfect, and he was just, I could hear his smile on the other end of the phone when he called me to let me know after the surgery was over. And he said she should be good for another 50 years. And I told him, well, I better go to the gym. I got to re-up, not for cosmetic reasons, but so I can keep up with my wife. But she needs some help today from the Lord. And she had help even through that. There are good, good drugs to help people. Thank God for something to take the pain away, can put you to sleep during surgery or whatever you need. But there's also dangerous drugs. And behind it, there's a spirit of addiction. I remember David Wilkerson talking about when he opened up Teen Challenge, so many young people, teenagers from early teens on up to late teens, drug addicted. And he opened it up so they could be delivered. And he talked to one young man about his addiction. You can see how the spirit of addiction works. He said, when I first started doing drugs, I did it at a party. He said it was like a little monkey, a cute little monkey, and I wanted to play with it. And he said, so the monkey was always hungry, and I began to love this little monkey because it's such a pet. And I played with it every day, but it was hungry every day, and I fed it every day. He said it was fun. I went to parties and I had a great time. I loved getting high. But the monkey always was hungry, and I enjoyed having this monkey. He sat right here on my shoulder everywhere I went. And I fed him because he was hungry every day. So I fed him. The progression of addiction. The progression of addiction. And he said, and the monkey began to grow. And it grew fast, and I hardly noticed until I began to feel the weight of it weighing me down. And it was hungry every single day, demanded that I feed it. And I decided, I don't want to live this way. I can't live this way any longer. I want to get this monkey off my back. He said, I reached up to yank it off my back, and I found out it wasn't just a little monkey. It was a gorilla. It was bigger, stronger than me, and I couldn't budge it. That's when addiction leads into the full-blown destruction. And the people set free in the name of Jesus that we sung about. They, in Dave Wilkerson's program, his Spirit-filled Assembly of God preacher, they called him to Washington, D.C. And they asked him all about his program, because the government program, just a very narrow percentage, when they would give them methadone and counseling, because see, there's a spiritual thing going on. And all of the medicines and all of the counseling, psychological and drug counseling, that can't deal with this gorilla. But the name of Jesus can. The name of Jesus does. And they offered David Wilkerson $1 million grant, back when a million was a million. It don't go as far as it used to. It really doesn't. They offered him $1 million. Government grant. But there was a stipulation. In his program, they had people come to Christ. They had people repent of their sin, receive Jesus as their Savior, and then they laid hands on them in the name of Jesus and cast out the spirit of addiction. And they said, you can't have this name involved, the separation of religion and state. He said, it don't work without it. My program doesn't work without the name of Jesus. You take Jesus out of the equation, there's no deliverance for these people. He said, you keep your money. God will provide. Hallelujah. I like that. Keep your money. God will take care of this. The government, you keep your program and I'll keep my program. Yours isn't working. Mine is working, because there's a recognition that our argument is not just with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. That you might be able to stand in the evil day. That you might be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, hallelujah, praying with all prayer and supplication for me and for all saints, that God would give me utterance to speak and proclaim the truth of God. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's why the church has become so impotent, not important, impotent, powerless to deal with these issues. We get a bunch of people with PhDs in, which means post-hole digger without the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I'm certified. Come on. I know I'm being a little facetious, but it's the truth. If you leave God out of the equation, it doesn't matter how much you've been taught. about psychology and this kind of personality, that kind of personality. The name of Jesus reigns above every name that's named of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. You take that out. What's left? Man's intelligence, man's ingenuity. But when you're dealing with spiritual forces, when people need deliverance, and we don't even allow for the Holy Spirit to manifest, so afraid of wildfire, we have no fire. And the pushback is not just coming from the world, it's coming within the church world. If you speak in tongues audibly, verbally, vocally, someone's going to categorize you with some crazy Pentecostal group or some doctrine over here that went off the rails. I don't speak in tongues to show I have some spiritual elite something. I speak in tongues because I have the Holy Spirit and He has me. And when He gives me utterance, I'm not ashamed of that. Because I have received power from on high. And if we're dealing with all of this array of spiritual forces, we need the power of God. Not the power of religion. Dogmas and creeds are important. They have their place, but they do not take the place of the power and the presence of God. People need to be set free. They need to be delivered. I don't believe in Christians being possessed by the devil, because you'd have to displace Jesus to do it. I like what Brother Hodges said. I appreciate what he said. He said, if you're a real Christian, and you've got the victory in the name of Jesus Christ, you can live in a duplex with the devil, a half a block from hell, and keep the faith. But you got to have the real and the genuine and the authentic victory. Hallelujah. So today the church world is, we've got counselors, we've got psychologists, we've got sociologists. We've got people highly qualified because they graduated a university. They may be a Christian counselor. But if a Christian counselor doesn't understand the spiritual forces that are arrayed, we're still using man's wisdom and man's ways to try to conduct help when the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you've run with the footmen and they've tired you, what are you going to do with horses? If Jordan is at low tides, smooth like a stream, what are you going to do when Jordan comes over its banks? And the only way to overcome that flood of wickedness, that flood of opposition, that flood of persecution, when the enemy comes in, and this is how he'll come, he will come like a flood. There are floods in China right now, and it's scary to look at it, just sweeping away everything in its path. When the enemy comes in like that, there's one and only one way to overcome. It's not in your religious resolve. You need that to release God, but you need faith in Him, trust in Him, look into Him exclusively as your source. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. He will be like the heath in the desert and shall not see, that inhabits the parched places of the earth, and he shall not see when the good comes. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters and shall not see when the drought comes. I'm drinking from the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pentecostal churches used to be known for more than just emotionalism, more than just speaking in tongues. We were known for the power and the manifest presence of God. And that's when the miracles occur. That's when strongholds are broken. That's when people are delivered and people are set free. There's a movement in the church world against all of that because of the abuses, and I never defend them. I never defend that that's abused and that that is wrong. Paul said, I come down here to set an order to all this, but I'm not against talking in tongues, though I speak in tongues more than ye all. There's a time for that. There's a time not to. And if an unlearned person comes in, then hold your peace so they can hear the gospel. Don't just get into self-edification. Let everything done to the building of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. So here we are today in a modern, postmodern world. Here we are with steeples and crosses, going into church that has a beautiful program. It will entertain you. The music will have you clap your hands and tap your feet. But if there's no conviction of the lost, then the powers of the enemy are still prevailing over God's people and God's purpose for all people. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. One preacher said, I usually start my service with a funny story. That has a place. I tell funny stories. But I don't build my sermon on funny stories. Don't be given to much jesting. Why? Because after a while, no one will take you serious and they will not see the seriousness of the matter. You can't just be a jokester that's real close to a huckster. Can you say amen? Make everybody smile. There's a time to get deadly serious about our victory. All around the world, the persecution is being intensified. There are Christians suffering and dying to this day for the faith. The least we could do in America is keep the faith that they are suffering and dying for. To keep the faith that they are suffering and dying for. And don't worry about what people think about. Don't be sanctimonious, self-righteous. Just be a follower of Jesus. Say, I don't go there and I don't do that. It's not because I'm holier than anybody. Well, we are, but I'm not holier than thou. I'm just saved. I'm sanctified. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that victory today. Because it's going to get worse. And if you can't keep the victory now, what are you going to do then? I've only got a little while, but let me hurry. Turn with me to, this was just a prelude. If the tribulation saints could have a threefold victory during the tribulation, the great tribulation, we all are facing tribulation in a fallen world. This is the great tribulation, the day of the Lord. If they can keep victory during the worst time in human history and the worst persecution of the church and Christianity that there will ever be, during the greatest falling away that there will ever be, if they can keep the faith by the help and grace of God during the tribulation, we ought to be able to keep the faith. There's too many defectors, too many people turning back, too many people that do not remember Lot's wife. They do not remember Lot and Sodom. He looked and he saw the lust of the eyes, that Sodom was as Eden. And the material gain of going in that direction as a covenant child of God, Lot saw that. The next stage, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was outside the city doing some kind of business without moving in. He knew the debauchery. He knew how evil it was. He knew how wicked it was. But the material gain kept pulling him. That's why the material message today, the get-rich gospel, God will bless you for giving. There's no if, and, but, or maybe. But does he want you like a Hollywood mogul? Amen. They that would be rich, that get in it for that purpose, that go after it for that purpose, they fall into many deceitful sins and hurtful snares. They harm their own soul, and they misrepresent the kingdom of God. They that would be rich. And you know who's making them rich? People with Bibles. People with Bibles. And they're so easily deceived. In our church, and one of the flaws of the Pentecostal movement, people wouldn't come to the Bible study. They would come to get in the healing line, and we're going to pray for the sick today, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they didn't come for the Word of God. I had a pastor's Bible class. 8 people come. 2 of them came for the Bible class. A man and his wife gave in the Sunday school offering and didn't even stay for church. They just wanted the Word. They want to get it in their heart, get it in their life, and take it home and apply it and see God work. But they didn't want to get involved in what a lot of people came to church for. Just to sing and shout and run around the building. That's good when God moves like that. But what did you learn? What do you know? Devil don't care. You can run around the church, jump, shout, do a somersault backward and forward. But if you don't know the Word and apply it to your life, he's going to wait until your shouting is over, your running is over, your emotional high. A lot of it was emotionalism. Come on, church. A lot of it was emotionalism. A lot of it is like people under pressure from all their problems and all the things that was weighing them down. And anyone ever on a pressure cooker, grandma on one? It's got a valve on top. What's that valve for? Keep the lid from blowing off when the pressure builds in it. It lets some steam escape. Well, a lot of times in Pentecost at church, we let some steam escape. Hallelujah! I don't want to be about to blow before I holler hallelujah. Can you say, man? I want to holler hallelujah because I'm not about to blow. Because I have victory in Jesus. Because I'm not overwhelmed by the devil. Praise God. Amen. I want to say hallelujah because I have victory in Jesus. Not because I'm just about to blow my stack. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Oh, if we run with the footman and we can't handle it. What's going to happen when we have to contend with horses? If Jordan, when it is running smooth and not over its banks, we can't handle it. What are we going to do when it becomes a mighty rushing flood? And by the way, it's not just the force of the water. When Jordan came over its banks, animals that came to drink were driven inland. And that means the lions themselves that would come to that river when it was smooth within its banks, they would get water from that river. You know where they went? They went hunting inland because they were too afraid of that flood tide which would take them away, the swiftness of the water. And now there's someone that doesn't go near the river where they go to drink, but now the lion is right up in their face, right up in their house, right up in their farm, taking their animals, threatening their children. If you can't handle it now, what are you going to do if it gets worse? Is it going to get worse? Yep, it is. Don't be intimidated. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not in your emotions. Your emotions are flaky. And emotionalism won't keep you throughout the week. It'll sure get you going on a Sunday, but it won't take you through the week. and you got to walk out of here. And I don't believe you shout and dance all the way home. Did you have to stop the car on the way home after a big Holy Ghost service and say, I can't stand it still on me. I got to get out. Stop the car. No. You're coming down off of that high, and it's a good high. But something more than a spiritual high is going to happen in the service. Can you say amen? You need instruction from the Word of God. Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you faint in the day of adversity, Scripture says your strength is small. Let's read about these saints as we close. Real quick, I'm going to do some reading here. Revelation 15, 2 through 4. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory, these are tribulation saints. I believe these are people who were on the fence, not ready for the coming of Jesus, knowing the truth, but not committing themselves fully to it. But when they see these events occurring, they know, I can't stay on the fence. If I receive Jesus, it's going to take a deeper devotion than if I had come to Him before this. But it's going to be worth it because I know what's coming. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe in the mark of the beast. I believe you can be lost. And the realization sets in. You don't get that in church on Sunday most times. But we need to. What's it worth? Is your friends, your acceptance of the world, your peers, is it worth compromising your faith to not be safe from the wrath to come? No, it is not. No ground. Give no place to the devil. These are people who have got off the fence, but now they're going to have to follow through. They can't play church. They can't play games. They were not ready for the coming of Jesus. And now they're going to cry out to God for help and grace and mercy to stand, and He's going to help them. And they're going to get the victory, though the river's over its banks. They can contend with the horses. See, if they can get the victory and keep the victory, a threefold victory. Everybody say threefold. Will you look for these threefolds here? If they can do it at the worst of time, when it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, Satan hath come down unto you having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time. Where's he going to take all that against? Where is it going to be vented? All mankind in general, but specifically those who are the followers of Jesus. He hates it. And he hates them because he hates God. Listen. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name. They stand on the sea of glass having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. When God begins to judge the wicked, judge the earth, it's going to cause a trembling to come. And they overcame during that time. What is going to be our puny, self self-loathing, self-wallowing excuse. What's it going to be? What are we going to say? Jesus compared it. He said, listen, I went into towns and I was totally rejected. The men of Sodom, the men of Tyre, and the men of Sidon, they're going to stand in the day of judgment and condemn you. But they repented at the preaching of one of the prophets. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, greater than Jonah is speaking to you. They got victory and repented. And judgment was averted because a man under the anointing preached, but God himself came in flesh and preached, and you didn't listen. What is going to be your excuse? They will stand and condemn you. For if the works that had been done in them, that you saw Jesus do, if it had been done in them, they would have repented and remained to this day. There will be no excuses. No excuses. No excuses. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Your strength is not small. If you're strong in the Lord. But if you're not strong in the Lord, if all you got's a little dose of religion, a little brush with Christianity, you see sports stars have a little brush with Christianity and give God a little glory for the win, and then you see them go out and womanize, and you see them go out and do all the things that they do, and you say, they didn't get saved. They didn't get saved. They might have grew up in church, but that doesn't make them saved. But when you get saved, you become a child of the King. And before water baptism has any meaning at all that we put such a premium on, he that confesses his sin and is baptized, listen, the first baptism has nothing to do with physical water. It's called regeneration of the Holy Spirit. You hath he quickened, made alive with his life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. For we have all been baptized by one, if you're saved, truly saved, by one Spirit into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how intimate or close are we? We become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and his members in particular. If that baptism hasn't occurred, water baptism means nothing. It only has meaning if you're buried with him, raised with him, because you are now in him. That's why you're with him. To walk in what? The same old compromising devil conceding? No, in the newness of life. For if any man be where? In Christ. He is what? A good church member, a high moral. No, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything has become new. Why? Because he's in Christ. Hallelujah. And then you go get baptized in water. I have baptized people in water, and they got up and went back to their old ways because they were never saved in the first place. How do you know? Because they went right back to their old ways. Can you say amen? Amen? So if you think water baptism, I joined the church. I walked the aisle. I was baptized on this day. I got the certificate up on the wall. If you were not baptized into Christ, that's just religious performance. It has no value. There's no saving power in the water. The only saving power is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's nothing you can do religiously. Can you say amen? His blood was shed for the remission of sins. There's no substitute, no religious rigmarole. And if you're not baptized into Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. And water baptism means absolutely nada. It's a baptism. That's what it means when it says. It's not just talking about. It said, don't lay again the foundation of baptisms. Zero in on that. And don't grow any further from that. I baptize people in a way that many religious groups would not even accept. They couldn't get to the water. They would have if they could have, because they really got baptized into Jesus. They got saved. How do you know? Because they loved the brethren. They loved me, who once made fun of me, sat and drank beer. They started at church time. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Can you say, man? They started drinking early. They sat on benches, and I would say, why don't y'all come to church? Ah, preacher. You know, puff, puff, and drink, drink. They said, ah, preacher, the ceiling would fall in. I said, we hadn't had it happen yet. Had a whole lot of people come in here and get saved and baptized. The roof is still standing. Not so sure about the balcony, but the roof is still standing. When the balcony got full, I prayed extra. I said, Lord, them termites are holding hands. Keep them holding hands. Amen. Don't turn loose. Got a lot of weight up there. Hallelujah. But I came by the church. I don't even know why I came by. I got to hurry. I came by the church. And I just went into my office. Got up there and I thought, I don't know what I'm here for. Why did I even stop here? I don't need anything out of my office. I came down and started to my car. And a lady drove up and said, Pastor Venable, do you remember? He told me. I said, you one of those two guys that you sit over there? I never knew his name. I said, yeah. I said, He's dying of cancer. He's calling for you. Oh, I remember him. It was a year before when he got cancer, he called for me. And I went to pray with him. And he wasn't ready to receive Jesus. So all the baptism and all of the things I could do over him had no value until he came to Christ. And then everything changed. I couldn't give him absolution. There's only one high priest that can do that, and it's Jesus. Can you say, man, religion can't take the place of the reality of Jesus Christ when it happens in a life? She said, well, they've only given him a short time to live, and he would like to know if you would come and pray with him. And I said, give me the address. She said, can you come now? I said, yes, I can. She said, just follow me. I followed her to a house, went in, and he was laying in the bed. And, of course, the cancer started to take its toll. He's emaciated. He has cancer of his throat, and it's spread throughout his body, and the treatment now has failed, and they're just getting him ready for death. But he knows he's not ready to meet God, and God is convicting him. And I walked in that room, and he reached out his hand, weak, frail, and I took him by the hand. I said, sir, you know who I am? He said, yes, I do. But he said it like this, yes, yes, I do. I said, are you ready to receive Jesus as your Savior? He said, yes, sir, I am. I said, well, I'm so sorry to see you in this condition. But God loves you, just like I told you before. And if you repent of your sin, receive Christ as your Savior, He's promised to forgive your sin, to pardon you. Will you pray with me? And we prayed together, repenting, receiving Jesus. And he says, he wanted to be ready. He said, can I be baptized? I said, I can't take you to the river. I can't take you out of here to their baptismal at church. But I told the lady, I said, if you got a dishpan or something and a bath towel? She said, yes, I do. I said, would you please bring them? Put water in it. I put that towel down in the water. I said, can you put something here under him? She rolled him one way and put something under, rolled him back. Now listen. I don't believe in sprinkling. It doesn't represent. You know, I want the whole nine yards. I want the whole enchilada. If I'm buried with him, raised with him, I want to go under. I believe in immersion. But when you can't, listen, religion will disqualify you from the salvation that he bled to give you. It will. There are certain religious groups. If you can't get baptized in water, you're going to hell in spite of all Jesus did on the cross and all anybody else can do. My pastor went to pray for a man that the pastor, his wife's pastor, came to the hospital to visit him. And he said, I want to receive Jesus. He never came to Christ. I want to come to the Lord. And he says, okay. Well, you prayed the sinner's prayer, everything. He said, okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. He said, wait a minute. The preacher told him, said, wait a minute. Have you been baptized? He said, no, of course not. I've never come to the Lord. He said, well, you can't get out of here and be baptized. He said, well, what hope do I have? He said, you should have thought of that before you got this sick. And left him in that state. How long will you teach for commandments the precepts of men? This man wants to be baptized. I want to get him baptized. I soaked that towel in water. I started from his head and I squeezed water. I soaked him with it. He just, you know, what did Peter say when Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. He said, I want the whole enchilada. That's paraphrasing. Amen. He said, not just my feet, but my hands and my face and my head also. I squeezed it to the last drop to his feet. I said, are you satisfied? Do you have peace? Are you ready to meet the Lord? He said, yes, sir, I am. But he said it like this. Yes, sir, I am. And then he took me by the hand and he pulled me right down to where my ear was next to his mouth. Next words out of his mouth. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. This blasphemer, this guy that made fun of us, this guy that sat and drank beer while I'm preaching. But I never quit praying for those two guys. Hallelujah. He said, I love you, brother. I got a phone call 4 or 5 days later. And the lady says, he went to heaven. I said, he went to heaven? He said, yes. And said he was a total peace. And I was by his bedside. And he had peace to go home. And I thought, Lord, I'm so glad that I can have a part in seeing someone get truly saved. Praise God and get sealed by the Holy Spirit and be safe from the wrath to come. I'm so glad there is somebody going to be in heaven. Amen. Because I preached the gospel and represented the gospel and showed the love of God. Hallelujah. To someone who is crying out for mercy. I'm glad the thief on the cross got saved. Are you glad for that? I'm glad religion didn't have a chance to disqualify him from salvation. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He couldn't come down and go through all of these other things. And there's a place for all the other things, but it's not first place. Hallelujah. Whoever sins you remit shall be remitted. How does that work? Because we all are kings and priests unto God. You don't have to be a preacher, a pastor, or an evangelist to lead someone to Christ. And when you do, their sins will be remitted. That's better than just being forgiven. Forgiven means I've forgiven you, but it's still hanging over you. Remission means it's gone. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, Their sins will I remember no more, because the high priest that intercedes for us doesn't have to go in there once a year to keep judgment from coming. He entered one time, put his blood on the mercy seat, and it stands for all time. Can you say amen? Woo! Somebody stop me, because I don't feel like stopping. Amen. Are you washed? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, I am. And I want to see other people saved, not just get them in church. Not just get their name on this roll, but get their name in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. 6 months later, I led the other guy to Christ. Hallelujah. And of all the joys I've ever had in ministry, nothing compares with seeing a soul that was almost lost, snatched out of the fire like a firebrand. There are people sitting in church this morning, having been baptized in water, that have never been baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. And all of that other is meaningless unless that occurs. And it's a false sense of security. And the last thing a lost person needs is a false sense of security. They need to know. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. And we know we pass from death to life. Because we love the brethren. When he pulled me down and called me brother and said, I love you. I thought, well, yeah, there it is. That's part of it. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the grace and the goodness of God. These saints here, they overcome. They overcame at the worst time in the history of the church there could ever be. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Satan has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sung the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Hallelujah. You think we ought to have a little more praising and less pleading? Always, God, 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 I love you. Lord, you can get more answers to prayer by praising him than you can by just pleading all day long. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, pleaded. And what came next? What came next? I'm not going to praise God until he gets us out of here. I'm not going to praise God until he delivers us. No, I'm going to praise God right here and right now. They prayed and sang praises to God. Somebody say, sang praises. Have you prayed? Have you committed something to him in prayer? Seal it with praise. Don't wait to see. There's an adage, seeing is believing. It's, you take that over into the kingdom of God. Believing is seeing. Amen. I'd fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's a nasty here and now. If they can make it, and they did, tribulation saints. So they were martyred, many, I'm sure. But they kept the faith. With the river over its banks, contending with horses, kept the victory. River's not over its banks right now. Not here in America. Not yet. It's coming, possibly. Is the church prepared for it? No. 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 Because the preaching doesn't address it. It just doesn't. One pastor said why he didn't preach on sin. Well, it was Joel Osteen when he was asked why he never preached on sin. He said, because my people are all carrying heavy burdens. And they just need to be lifted up. He said 99.9% of people are good. No, they're not. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. No, not one. Oh, you didn't know my grandma. It doesn't matter about your grandma. She needs a Savior. Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed a Savior. My people just need, no, they need to be saved. And they need the joy of that salvation and the peace of that salvation and the assurance of that salvation and the power of that salvation. Are we ready to lay down our life for the gospel if it comes to it? Are we prepared in that kind of devotion, or is this just emotion? If the preaching doesn't get stronger than it is, if you run with the footman, you can't keep up. How will you contend with horses if you can't keep the victory now? All over the world, saints are still dying right now for their faith, being martyred right now for their faith. In Pakistan, where I'm still looking for the door to open for me to teach in the future, pastors under the gun, Christians under duress. They're stealing girls, teenage girls. They're raping them, marrying them, and forcing them into a false faith to get them out of the Christian religion in Pakistan. Today, as we sit here, some people can't even make it to church on Sunday because we got some little issue. You see how weak Christianity is? Some people want to go to a church, and it's time for us to quit, but they want to go to a church where they can get out and go do something fun. This is my only day off. I'm not going to wreck it by spending time worshiping God and receiving the Word of God, because I got better things to do than to spend my time there. Are we ready for persecution? Are we well armed to overcome an enemy that bent on our destruction? No, we're not. But we desperately need to be. We used to sing it. This is not a game. This is for real. The battle is real. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here in this kingdom to stay. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want every Christian to be ready to stand, having done all to stand. Because it's in standing that these victories are wrought. They sang the song of Moses, and they sang the song of the Lamb. Praise God, hallelujah, for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the God who delivers, the God who sets free today. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask you a personal question. We're going to pray for Brother Taylor at the end of this song. I didn't just preach on healing, but I preached on victory. And when you get healed, it's a great victory. Can you say amen? The joys of my life and ministry, seeing people come to Jesus. The hardest part is seeing people go back. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Thank you, Heavenly Father. How many will commit themselves to victory this Sunday? You refuse to let the enemy defraud you out of that God wants to grant you. You are determined to not let the devil take advantage of you any further and any longer. When you open your mouth to complain, you're going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not going to let my emotions rule me today. I feel bad. I feel down. But the fact is, I'm a Christian. I haven't just been baptized in water. I've been baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Jesus Christ. And His victory is my victory. And I claim that victory. In fact, thanks be unto God which gives me the victory. I'm going to stand instead of falter. And I'm going to stand instead of fall. Let's sing this song and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sisters, whoever wants to come and stand behind Brother Taylor, I want someone to touch him on the shoulders. We're going to pray today for God's healing once again. Once again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sister Marlene used to sing, do it again. Do it again. Do it again and again and again and again. Glory to God. If there be any sick among you, if there's anything wrong physically in our bodies, let them call the elders of the church, the mature ones. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. I'm under the Holy Spirit right now. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey Him. Never a man spake like this man. Who is this that He cleanses the leper? Who is this through His name that a lame man runs into the temple leaping, rocking, praising God? Who is this that opens the eyes of the blind? Who is this that calls the dead out of the tomb? Yelaboko sanda da maroka, senda da mabo osolabarite, landa da basataya. In the name of Jesus today, from the crown of His head to the soles of His feet, let your healing flow. Handa da baroko na mamalaha satia, munda da barosha, and let the test verify. Let it verify healing has occurred. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and for the glory of God. Yesho la babibianda, yanda da baroka, asanda da bariki anda da basataya. Father, we look forward to the testimony. Hallelujah. We look forward to the testimony. We look forward to the testimony in Jesus' name and for the glory and the honor of God. Hallelujah. God is good today and God is gracious today and Jesus is worthy today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, if we were in our own building, we'd stay another hour just worshiping. But it is time. Hallelujah. And I know that you've been a wonderful audience today. You pull it out of me, so it's all y'all's fault. Amen. If you didn't receive the word so good, it wouldn't just keep coming like it does. I'd be wanting to hurry up and get it over with. There's an offering here if you have anything. If you haven't given this month, we would appreciate it. Help us to pay the debts on this room. We're trusting God to make a way, and He's making it through generous people, and we thank you from the bottom of our heart for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.